2014. I'm Amos Brown. Glad to have you here. It is going to be a very, very busy week on the big program. We'll tell you a little bit later what's coming up this week. Coming up in our second hour, her first ever interview, the first lady of the great state of Indiana, Karen Pence, will be here. She's got a foundation where she's, you know, in encouraging donations to organizations that work with families. And family's very big with her. We'll find out about that. She's also working on, did you know that Indiana's going to have its 200th anniversary as a state, the bicentennial, in 2016? That's just around the corner. And we'll find out about that and other stuff. Yes, we'll even ask her, what was it like sitting at First Lady Michelle Obama's table at the big White House dinner for governors? And the table wasn't even labeled like table two. It's like table 12, but it's down front. Well, all that and a lot more on the program today. But first, we have to begin saluting our tech titans. Now, it got tight near the end. I mean, they were just blowing out Lake Central. They were just whipping on. And then Lake Central, I don't know where, they kept coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back. And finally, Trey Lyles and the guys solidified it. The victory. First time an IPS school has won the state basketball championship since 1980. Yes, that long ago with the Broad Ripple Rockets. That's a long, long, long time ago. 239-1310 to congratulate the Tech Titans on that victory. It made everybody feel good. Not just in IPS, everybody in Indianapolis and Marion County. Because it's been a long time since an Indianapolis public school. I mean, the township schools have won. But a long time since an IPS team. And continuing in that tradition of Crispus Attucks and George Washington High School. And Broad Ripple. And now Tech. 239-1310. But what I couldn't figure out is why the game wasn't on free TV. It wasn't. It was on Fox Sports Indiana, the channel the Pacers are on cable. Because I'm turning on, it was Saturday evening, I'm turning on Channel 4 looking for the game. Nothing. I tuned in Fox 59, which also owns Channel 4. Nothing. I said, well, maybe my Indy TV. They got all, every other sports on it. Nothing. And I'm going, wait a minute. How can you have the high school football championships on Thanksgiving weekend on Channel 4? And you not have the high school basketball championships? I get being on cable. Nothing wrong with Fox Sports. Great, great cable channel. But some of y'all do not have cable. Or you have the very basic cable that does not include Fox Sports. So here we were getting ready to have a historic victory, historic game, Tech, IPS, a bunch of great young men, student athlete scholars. Trey Lyles won the Trester Award for the Mental Attitude Award. Couldn't see any of that because it wasn't on. I don't understand it. 239-1310, 239-1310. Also, coming up in about 5 or 6 minutes, I got to tell you about hundreds of young people descending on a Northwest Side facility on Friday night, overcrowding the place. Packing the place, standing room only. We'll tell you about that in a minute. Let me go quickly to Betty. Hi, Betty.
Hi, Amos. I just want to congratulate Tech Titans from 1966 graduate, and I wanted to know, where can I get me a T-shirt at?
I believe at the school. I think this. Yes. Now, I don't know whether the school office is open this week because it's still spring break at IPS. But I think they're the ones selling the T-shirts, the athletic department.
They were selling them that night at 11:30 after the game.
Yeah.
But maybe somebody else might have picked up on it. But, yes, go Tech.
Yeah, and do not buy the T-shirts off the street from somebody that's not the official Tech High School. Because
right.
You know some
money in Tech.
Because you know somebody gonna try that.
Right. We need the money in Tech.
That's right.
No technical high school.
There you go. And I don't know whether you saw the post game. Where they gave out the award to the Trester Award winner for mental attitude?
And
Trey, what's his name? Trey Lyles spoke. Oh, he spoke so well. Oh my goodness.
Such a beautiful speech.
Yes, it was. And I'm going, an IPS graduate. No, it was a great thing. I appreciate it, my dear. Thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name is for a Monday. So now, Chris, how many times have we heard on this program from young people, from community folks, that our young people don't have enough to do? They don't have places that they can go. Okay. So evidently, Friday night, on the northwest side, at a facility, hundreds of young people, teenagers and some maybe an occasional young adult, like an 18 or a 19-year-old, show up at a facility on the northwest side, Chris, packed the place, lined up around the building, place on the inside jammed. Several hundred young people on the outside trying to get in. Parents dropping the kids off. And then not knowing the kids could get in, they dropped them off. Hey, we'll be back in 3 or 4 hours. Call us when you're ready. Not knowing that the place was full. Not only were the kids lined up outside the building, like 2-block-long line, Chris, trying to get in. Some were trying to go to other entrances of this facility and sneak in. So many kids, they had to call the real police. Not the black security guy. The real police. 10-point was out there. So now everybody's hearing this and they're going, Amos, where was this? Was this a concert that somebody gave for a new rap group? Was this a new under 21 club? Was this at somebody's house? And one of the reasons there were so many people there. This event got so hip. Young people were on Twitter, they were on Facebook, they were on Instagram, saying the place to be Friday night was at this location. So the young people were spreading the word, the hip place to be Friday night is this place. Now y'all really want to know what this is, right? 600 to 900 young people were packed, begging, finagling, trying to get admitted. Oh, did I say this event was free? So there was no charge at the door. They were trying to get into a church. Let me repeat that. They were trying to get into a house of worship. A church. Come to find out a year ago, Light of the World Church had sponsored a lock-in for youth. They had 300 youth show up last year, about this time last year, 300. They had 300, and there was no problem. This time, 600 to 700 to 800 to 900 showed up to a church function. Now, first of all, those of you that have always called this show, you know who you are, and say, The church doesn't ever do anything. Well, they did. And people showed up. Now, were they prepared for the deluge? No. So there was a little bit of disorganization and chaos. The reason I'm mentioning this today, on a number of reasons. One, you didn't hear about this on TV over the weekend, did you? You didn't see anything in your, all you saw in the printed newspaper on Sunday was something about some deer. The reason you didn't hear anything about this, 600 to 900 black young people trying to bogart their way into a church, is because there were no problems. In spite of it being overcrowded, couldn't let anybody else in, young people congregated in the parking lots of Light of the World. There were, let me repeat that, no problems. Didn't nobody throw a punch or worse? Didn't nobody try to break in a car or worse? Didn't nobody act like those students at the University of Arizona after their team lost a chance to go to the Final Four? Yeah, they were disappointed. They might have been upset. But somehow they knew they were outside God's house. 239-1310, 239-1310's Afternoons with Amos. Let me go to Kevin. Hi, Kevin.
Man, Amos, as I was on hold, I'm sitting there thinking as you're building up to the crescendo, you know, the only place to be what's going to be exciting is a place of praise and worship, and then boom, the hammer came down. You talked about praise and worship. Praise the Lord, man. That's a great story. hey, real quickly, with respect to the Tech game Saturday night, that was the place to be Saturday night.
Yes, it was.
In church,
yes, it was.
Over there at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. I'll tell you what, Amos, class of 76, alumni, there was a guy there, I couldn't even tell you his name, Mr. and Mrs. Check is what we call them. They graduated in 1941. They go to all the home games. Mm-hmm. They traveled with us all the way through the tournament. They're a Banker's Life. I mean, we just had a blast. After the game was over, it was amusing because out there in the concourse area, there's a screen printing company out there that has their sheets ready to go, and you order the T-shirt, they print it for you right there on the spot. And I'm talking 100 people deep. Principal Yarrow from Tech graduate of 1975, I might add, comes out, and he is screaming at the top of his lungs, "Get out of here! Get out of here! You don't want to buy your shirt from this guy. You want to buy it from the campus. Go over to the campus over there at the Arsenal. At 12 o'clock, we're going to be there." Now, that being said, Amos, write this down. Yeah. USPromotions.net.
USPromotions.net.
USPromotions. He's an alumnus.
Okay.
And every sale that is made, all those monies are going back to the athletic office. Go over to their arsenal there on the campus. Again, I don't know if they're open during the spring break. They were Saturday night. But all those profits, if I might use the word, is going right back into the athletic department of Tech High School. So if you're going to buy your shirt, do it over there at the campus. And there may be other locations throughout the city I'm not aware of, but I know they're at the campus. You're going to be able to get it, but it sure was comical watching Principal Yale come through there yelling. And you know that guy behind his screen printing business. What's right. going on here, man? 100 people just left.
Good point. And again, yeah, congratulations to Tech as well as congratulations to Park Tudor.
Absolutely. Park Tudor.
For winning the 2A championship.
Good, appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Let me go 239-1310. 239-1310. Let me go to Reverend Phillips. Hi there.
Hey, Amos.
How are you?
Congratulations to Tech High School.
Yes.
And what you were saying about them young people.
Yeah.
You said them young people. Well, I'm gonna tell you, it's anointing coming through, and where people trying to, as young people, they trying to give they lives back to the Lord. They see where it ain't nothing out here.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't nothing out here. I really see a young person want to serve the Lord just like an old person.
Right.
And see, that's what we got to do. We got to encourage our youth, our young people. That is one way, and that's to give a life back to the Lord.
All right, good, good.
And that's all I got to say. Even old people too.
Good
we need the Lord too.
All right, good point, my brother. 239-1310. 239-1310 is Apps News. Davis, the senior pastor of Light of the World Church, is Dr. David Hampton. He's on our live line. So, Doc, have you all recovered from Friday night?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We're still recovering.
Now, this is what happened Friday night. This was an event you guys did a year ago, a lock-in. Is that correct?
Right. We have a lock-in every year. Last year was actually a record number. We never had 300. And, so we thought that was quite a bit, and that filled the entire chapel, which our chapel seats 300. And so, you know, we planned for this year and we're planning again for 300, but never expected the numbers that we saw this year. So it was kind of business as usual.
Were young people putting out on social media, hey, the place to be is at a church Friday night?
Well, I think so. I think that, you know, this is certainly a case in point of what social media, the power of social media. And, you know, oftentimes God brings good out of the negative. Part of the negative is, to be honest with you, the 10 Point received messages, and I got messages that there were tweets and Facebook post that there was going to be a gang fight at Light of the World.
Mm.
So that's when I was called, and I got to the church as quickly as I could without getting a speeding ticket. And we had over 500 teenagers inside the gymnatorium, which is where we worship, inside
right.
the sanctuary part, and even more outside.
Mm.
So I had to figure out, you know, what are we going to do? Because we really weren't expecting that. And when I heard of the gang fight, you know, we tried to sift out gang members, which they were there.
Mm-hmm.
Wait,
gang members in the church?
Oh, yeah. They were there.
But they knew it. Obviously, they knew enough where they were not to cause no trouble.
Exactly. And the thing is, you know, we weren't the only ones that had a lock-in that night. Amazing Grace had a lock-in out in Geist.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Preston Adams, he had one. And so, you know, we had kids wrapped around the block, trying to get into church, not a Jay-Z concert,
mm-hmm.
not a party, trying to get into church. So my first instinct when I got there was, we need to shut this down. I don't want any liabilities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, parents are entrusting us. I don't want any gang fights. But then the Spirit hit me and said, look, if these teenagers are trying to get into church that bad, maybe we need to let them on in
mm-hmm.
and try to get some word in them. So that's exactly what I did.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't want anybody turned away if we can accommodate them. They were already trying to sneak in every entrance we had.
Trying to sneak in a church.
I've never seen anything like it in my life. In my short 20 years in ministry, I've never seen anything like it. And so I did call IMPD. They were very courteous and respectful and very helpful. 10 Point was there. I want to certainly thank them. Horatio Luster was there with a crew. And everybody was helpful. And at the end of the day, you know, went in and was able to share the word of God. And over 50 teenagers gave their lives to Christ. We didn't have not one incident.
Mm.
I don't even think we had an incident of profanity in the church, let alone a fight. So, and all of my chaperones can tell you the same. I mean, we had some of our senior saints helping out, and not one of them complained about any of the youth. So it was really an act of God, and I'm hoping that you and other pastors and leaders and I can get together and really figure out, even beyond Light of the World, what can we do in the community? Because these young people need something to do, and they need it more than once a year.
Mm.
And it hurt my heart to have to turn some away. We probably turned away about 300. And the 600 or so that we kept were way over capacity in our church. So, you know, we've got to figure something out.
But, first of all, for that many young people, and it wasn't a rap artist, it wasn't a Kardashian, it wasn't a Desperate Housewife of Atlanta.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it was just, you know, young people coming together. They kind of knew they were in a house of worship. And then they heard the word, and 50 said, I'm coming down front.
That's right. And they just kept coming. And, you know, the thing about it is, you know, our youth director, Anderson White, does a great job, but And I heard you earlier say that, you know, that people complain that young people don't have anything to do. We have youth night every Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
We feed them. They do after school. They play basketball. We give them a Bible lesson. Over 200 youth come every Tuesday night. That's partly why we're broke half the time in a lot of the world, because we feed them for free. We even have a 12 and under youth program. So I think some of the buzz was an outgrowth of that Tuesday night youth night, because we get a lot of youth that come who don't even belong to our church, and we welcome them in our doors, because I figured, and we're there sometimes till 10 o'clock at night, sometimes 10:30, 11 o'clock. Because it's a great witness to the youth that at least Tuesday nights you can have somewhere to go. But we really need more around the city. And I really want to thank the parents for trusting us. Some parents dropped their kids off and didn't even come back. And I hope they weren't some that got turned away. I heard your grandbaby tried to get in and you know, wasn't able to get in. So I apologize for any inconvenience to any parents. But, you know, this is, again, we just give glory to God, and hopefully this is something special happening in our city.
Yeah, it says something that I think sometimes we forget. And I looked up the statistics this morning. There are roughly 121,000 young people in this city and county between the ages of 10 and 19. I think sometimes we think that, oh, it's got to be, it's just 3,000 or 4,000 kids. No, it's 121,000. 40,000 of them are black. That's larger than at least 30 or 40 Indiana counties. That's a lot of kids. And the vast majority are good, ain't causing no trouble to nobody, young people.
They really are. They really are. Officer Rosenberg was one of the officers on that shift, who frequently, you know, helps out a lot of the world. A Jewish white man with me, and he was overjoyed to see that many young people. And what he told me was kind of ironic. He said, it's really good for me to see all of the smiles and the joy on these kids' faces, because we just don't see that outside of the church. And what's sad is the majority of our children are not bad. They're not bad. I don't know what the police see. They sometimes see only the negative, and there are a few bad apples, but the majority are not. These young people are studious, take high school. You know, these are great athletes, great students. We need to highlight the positives of our young black youth. And most of the, you know, the crime and unfortunately the homicides that are up in Indianapolis are not teenagers. These are 21 and over committing most of these crimes. So they're not 18 and under. And that's what the community really needs to know.
Well, like I said, when I heard it, young people trying to, and I understand young people trying to sneak in a club, young people trying to sneak in the concert, but young people trying to sneak in a church.
Trying to sneak into the church.
That, you know, that says something, and maybe this will encourage other congregations, you know, to do, you know, similar things, which takes out not the specialness of it, but spreads the opportunity, I guess, you know, because all young people want to do, is be somewhere where they can meet each other and trade phone numbers. That's just be, cause we did it.
No, you're right. You're exactly right.
Pastor David Hampton, I know you're heading out. It's like, why does everybody get spring break but me and Chris? I think we're the only ones in town. We don't get spring break. We
the radio never stops. Yeah, you can do a remote.
A remote for you. Yeah, someplace warm. Pastor Hampton, thanks very much for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Amos.
All right, 239-1310. 239-1310. Email me in a comment. Kids trying to sneak into a church. Usually they're trying to sneak out of a church. 239-1310. 239-1310. This afternoon with Amos on a very, very busy Monday. When we come back, more of your calls. We'll also update you on who's coming in this week as the campaign going into the May 6th primary heats up. It's also 27 days to women's empowerment. You got your ticket yet? 27 days. Women's empowerment will be here Saturday, April the 26th at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. Starts at 10 a.m. You can get your tickets now by going to praiseindy.com and click on Women's Empowerment. Just go to praiseindy.com. We hope to see you there. It's Afternoons with Amos after these. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. Let me go to the phones and Betty. Hi there. Betty?
Hi, Amos.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. I'm so happy about tech. I don't know what to do.
Yay!
I did just popped into my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the lockdown, if all the churches, no matter what denomination, would have a lockdown at least once a month. I think we have enough churches here in Indianapolis that we could, they could all have a lockdown, you know, once a month, so there wouldn't be one place always doing it. And I think that would help with the crime rate and get our young people involved in activities that would really interest them and keep them away from crime. What do you think about that idea?
That is not a bad idea. The big one of the biggest problems that I then when I talk to young people is their complaint that there's nothing to do. So if you're a young person and you're tired of being at home watching cable, you're tired of being at home playing on the Xbox or mm-hmm. texting on the phone from inside your house, you want to do something. Well, now at that point it is, unless you're going to go to the movie theater,
mm-hmm.
there's only two malls they hang at, which is Circle Center, downtown, and Castleton, because they don't go to Washington Square and Lafayette Square no more.
No, it's a ghost town.
They ain't going out there, so they're either going to the movie theaters. There's only, like, two skating rinks left in the whole city. Maybe
yeah,
three.
Things it could be working on.
Maybe three at the most. The city makes it almost impossible
mm-hmm.
for any private person to do what used to be the teen dances that promoters
right,
would do,
right.
The city virtually makes it impossible. They really don't want anybody to have that. They'll let a church do it.
Yeah.
They'll let,
but you know what I think, too? I think the city, the system, as they always say, they don't want our kids to grow. The whole thing is to squash them. And I think as a people, we need to get together as with the people and churches and say, get together and force them to build us a big arena or something where our kids can go.
Well, here's the other thing. The schools don't.
Right.
The public schools don't. Not
just, they're trying to kill us because public schools wipe them out off the map.
But here's the deal. Not just IPS. The townships don't.
No.
The charters don't.
Mm-mm.
Every now and then some of the Catholic schools will. They'll do a dance.
Mm-hmm.
They're about the only ones that I know would do something.
That's ridiculous.
And so when you think about the lack of stuff there is to do, then all of a sudden, this is where you get into the problems of somebody trying to skirt the system and have an under 21 and not get the proper permits, not invest in security, trying to make a quick buck.
And then they get all about money.
Yeah, then they get shut down. Then you got somebody trying to do a party at a private home and not have it properly supervised, and it's all out here on Facebook and Twitter, and then 8,000 people show up.
Yeah.
And the other group that doesn't do anything. And if somebody could, if I say wrong, somebody will correct me. I don't think the YMCAs do a lot.
No, they just killed them too. That was a perfect place.
The Boys and Girls Clubs.
They shut them down too.
They were honest with me. They said, I asked them about this late last year. We did the show with Coach Dungy out at the Boys and Girls Club out by the airport out in Mars Hill. And they said they used to do things on Fridays and Saturdays, and young people stop coming.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe it's time. You know, sometimes after an absence, that's the time to start something back up.
Right, right. And what about the building over on College, the Girls Club over there on College? That's a big empty building sitting up there empty.
Okay.
My daughter-in-law used to go there when she was a teenager.
Right.
And it did a lot of things. And this building sitting there empty. But they're building apartment buildings everywhere. Why don't they build a huge arena where young people can go every weekend and have things for them to do in there?
That's a good point. I don't even know who. I don't think Girls Inc. even owns that building.
I think it's just sitting up there.
It's just sitting up there.
Empty.
Empty. Good points, my sister. I appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Let me go back to the phones and Motep. Hi there.
Hey, Amos. How's it going?
Fine.
All right, you know, it's just disturbing the way the media does. I heard you talk about the night out the other day, and yeah, I did. I didn't read anything in the paper. I go on a website to catch most of my news, RTV6 or any of those sites. I didn't catch anything. That is something positive to do, you know. But I don't think we're dealing with the genesis of the problem per se. And now, I know from a scientific, Martin Luther King said, think critically and scientifically. So if we think critically and scientifically, all these things that you have proposed, getting people to do activities, mm-hmm. who's going to bring those kids to the activities?
Two things. Obviously, what happened Friday, the church had put it out among their base of young people that they were going to do something, and then the word multiplied from there.
Correct. Okay. Now, how many chaperones of parents and other adults that were there to ensure that that event was going to go on correctly? A number of people, I'm sure, right?
They had a number of people, yes.
They had a number of people. Okay. So you have to have a volunteer network. What gets me is, and I'm a golfer, and I've been all over playing golf. It's awful funny that certain segment of society can get volunteers to do all kind of stuff in the community. Mm-hmm. Yet, I've been told this by other black folks that considering our situation, we only look to get paid to do things. We have to have enough volunteers. I did volunteer work. We have to have enough volunteers to show up at these places, to do these things so you can get things done. And second of all, you got to have the wherewithal for parents. We know parents are younger. We know the situation to the single parent home. They have to realize that the importance of getting kids involved in everything. My sister-in-law got divorced, and she was a single parent for years. She kept her daughter involved in everything, but she had transportation. Right. She had a mother and a father and a support system of ancillary family members to whereas when she may not be able to go pick her up or take her here, someone else did it. That's another issue. See, the breakdown of the family is the main problem. We got to get to the crux of it. That is the problem. And until someone addresses that, then we're going to continue to try to put Band-Aids on an artery bleeding and it's not going to stop. The tourniquet's not even going to stop it. Because what happened the other day, going in the store and killing people and doing the kind of stuff like that, that's a symptom of the underlying disease. You know, because anyone in the world, my dad didn't want to, we just wasn't taught that. We just was not taught that behavior. And you have to learn. Kids learn by imitation. That's the first way they learn, is by imitating someone, something, or somebody. What are they imitating? So do you know what they're imitating?
I can't answer that. Good point.
I know that. And that's the whole problem, and I appreciate you taking my call.
All right, good points. Let me go to Van, first time caller at 239-1310. Hi there. Hold on, Van. Let me give you the salute. There you go. What's up?
Hi. I'm calling. I know I'm a business owner myself. I own a body shop here in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was kids, we had that program. We couldn't wait to get out and go to work. They had that work program.
Yes.
Soon school was released. Now, they was paying like a little over, right at $300 for every 2 weeks you would get.
Right.
Back in those days. So, mm-hmm. So now, that probably would be $700-$800 today.
Mm-hmm.
So who wouldn't go to work and be waiting to, you know, that was for the girls and the boys. You know what I'm saying? They had them jobs. We waited at the community building if you was in an apartment complex. They would pick us up by the bus, you know, and take us out on the job all the way up until time to go back to school. We had our tennis shoe money. We had our clothes money. We had whatever it takes to go back to school. And our parents, they kept us busy all summer.
No, you're absolutely, you know, so, you're absolutely right. But the problem is some of that, the money for those programs was federal money, that the federal summer jobs money has dried up. It started drying up during the Bush administration, and it really has dried up there was a little bit of money during the stimulus right after President Obama and the Democrats got in, and the minute the Republicans took control of Congress, well, that dried all of that up. And now some cities, the mayors of those cities have gone to their business community and says, hey, it's important that we find employment for young people in our mm-hmm. city. And the business community has come, to the thing, has come mm-hmm. to the table. For some reason, our mayor still hasn't pulled the business community together to say, okay, there's no federal funds for summer jobs. What can y'all do? And if the mayor's office people are listening, because they like to listen to this program just so they can, you know, tear their hair out every afternoon. If the mayor has actually done something like that mm-hmm. to encourage businesses, let me know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we got a lot of money. We got all different kind of money for everything, but some type of program, a work program for the youth.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, so that was my concern and comment.
All right, good point, my brother. 239-1310. 239-1310. Let me go to Mayhem. Hi there.
Hey, my friend. How's it going?
Fine.
How was your weekend?
calm.
It's the call before the storm.
Two more things. I'm going to hit it and quit it. Last week, dealing with your, what was that, child support show?
Yeah.
That was, it was good information, but you look at the breakdown, it was sad that people can come together and make a baby, but they can't stay together to raise that baby. That show was, it was basically to me all about money. Another thing is, when I used to go, the Nazarene on Sheffield, Michigan, we used to, they had it open, every day, and we used to feed the people three times a day, and guests, mainly was the volunteers.
Mm.
White people.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you listen to what the pastor said, people dropping their kids off and wasn't seeing if they were safe or not, you know? Somebody could have been snatching kids up, but would the parents know about it? And then they would have blamed the church. We need more, we talk good games, but we don't want to back up what we're talking. People talk about buildings. It takes money to open buildings for people to have fun for free. Free cost takes money. And another thing, I live across the street from Tabernacle. Mm-hmm. You need to talk to them. That's a nice platform. They open every day. They feed people, give people clothes. And we're strict up. They have their youth out there, volunteering, and they youth travel in droves. Like, I know a couple Sundays ago, it was cold too. It's like 75, 100 of them going through the neighborhood, talking to people, knocking on the doors.
Hmm.
And also across the street, they got a bike shop. I go over there a couple, sometime and buy bikes and give it to people that need bike or children or whatever. But, you know, on the radio, we talk a good game, but we need to start backing up with our money.
Right.
I know when I was, growing up, it was people to so-called mentor me. It wasn't scared of me and, done a lot with not just me, but everybody. And they didn't label us as gangs when we walked around in groups. Thank you, my friend.
All right. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's afternoon's name is back to the phones and Eric. Hi there. Eric. Hi, you're on the air.
I just want to congratulate IPS from somebody from Hamilton County. I think they represented their school well. Number one, they also represented the state well. This young man that won this award, this Tressler Award, mm-hmm. is very well spoken.
Yes, he was.
And I am just really pleased, and anybody can do it. It's time for us to believe in our children. The other thing is, I want to address the church. Thank God for those pastors and those leaders in the church. Our children need to be reached. When this gentleman was talking a little bit ago about the gangs, it kind of reminds me of David Wilkerson back in New York. I don't know if you've ever even read the book, The Crossing the Switchblade. But it is an awesome book about gangs and about the problems that they had in the inner city. And it was just a phenomenal thing. But God bless those people who are reaching these young people. And, you know, I wish the mayor and everybody, at these convention centers would open up their doors. But if they can't, maybe some of the churches can network together to do a lock-in citywide. I would love to see these churches work together in that aspect. And that's all I kind of wanted to say. I'll let you respond.
You know, a citywide lock-in. Now that's interesting. Because, you know, there's a precedent for citywide revivals. There's a precedent for citywide this and that. A citywide lock-in, that'd be a good thing. 239-1310. Let me go to Mike at 239-1310. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Amos. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Amos. You know, I had a thought over the weekend, and I was thinking about what if, Amos, if the schools, young youth clubs would start like their own outreach, where you have them going to nursing homes to visit the elderly. You have some to do community work around the park, maybe mentor to the preschoolers, and just get them involved in different things. Even have 25, 30 of them go down there to the legislators. You know, carry them different places. To get them involved in different social volunteering network, because our youth, Amos, they sit up, they listen to the, you know, we had our music back in our days.
Right.
They had their music these days. But the lyrics of the music are different, you know. Back in our days, it was talking about I'm down on my knees begging you, please. Mm-hmm. You know, this day it's talking about loading up the Glock, you know, mm-hmm. and emptying it. So, therefore, we have to do something because we're dealing with the media. We're dealing with Hollywood, you know, the negative image come across the TV shows and all that. So, you know, it's not just about taking our kids for one evening for 8 to 10 hours and locking them in a building. Because once they come outside this building, they still got this media, which have access to them 24/7. But we need to get them back involved, what we used to do, Amos, that old people touch, you know.
All right. No, good point. Good point, my brother. 239-1310. 239-1310. This afternoon's name is First Lady of the State of Indiana. Karen Pence is coming up on the program this week, tomorrow. Not ready yet. Just chill out. Chris is so excited he's already met the First Lady. Tomorrow and Wednesday, we're having, this week and next week, we've got candidates coming who are running for 7th District Congress. This week, the Republican candidates, 4 out of the 5 candidates in the Republican primary for the 7th Congressional District, which is 80% of Marion County, will be here. Tomorrow, we will have J.D. Menear and Aaron McGee in our 1 p.m. hour. And then on Wednesday, we will have Gordon Smith and Catherine Cat Ping. And these are 4 of the 5 candidates for the Republican nomination, and we look forward to hearing from them and find out where they stand on the issues that are important to you. Then next week on Tuesday, April the 8th, Democratic candidates who are running for the Democratic nomination for 7th Congressional District, Curtis Godfrey, Pierre Pullins, and the Reverend Moji Ajabu, they will all be here next Tuesday, April the 8th. Congressman Andre Carson is scheduled to be on Tuesday, April the 15th. And we've got some other surprises as we go along. Then if this week is not enough, this Thursday, beginning at 6 a.m. with the Yolanda Adams Morning Show, it is our annual radiothon to help benefit St. Jude Children's Hospital. And we will be giving you all kinds of positive stories about the great work of St. Jude in terms of working with and dealing with the most serious cancers, the most serious debilitating cancers that affect young people from the age of newborn up to teenage. St. Jude does great work. It does not cost a family anything when they're referred to St. Jude. St. Jude does life-saving research that they share with hospitals and doctors literally all around the world. And St. Jude also does groundbreaking research in sickle cell. And sickle cell disease is in inhibiting the growth of sickle cell and understanding that disease. And that's why we come to you once a year in April, asking you to do your part to help make hope happen by considering being a partner in Hope of St. Jude. That's commitment of $5 a week. What was that, $20 a month? To be a partner in Hope with St. Jude. That is coming up on our St. Jude Radiothon, starting with the Yolanda Adams Morning Show, 6 a.m. on this Thursday. 239-1310. Let me go back to the phones. And Tanya, hi there.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. What's up?
I have a question about second chance. We have our young men out here. They've gotten themselves in trouble, and now they're trying to, you know, turn that around.
Okay.
And, like, I'll go ahead and say it is my son. He's trying to get him a place. And he got him a job. He's doing good.
Good.
They're trying to find him a place to live. No one wants to take someone that has, like, a felony on their record.
What was the felony?
He got into an argument with his girlfriend. She lied on him.
Okay. All right. So it was not drugs, correct?
No, it was not drugs.
It was some kind of alleged violence?
Yes, it was something like that. She said he did something that he did, and she couldn't prove it. And then months later, she ended up getting locked up for attempted murder.
Well, was he found guilty?
He pleaded guilty because he didn't want to be in jail.
Okay. And so the only reason they're turning him down is they don't admit felons?
Yeah, they don't. It's on their applications for apartments. If you have a felon, it's like they don't even look into what the felon is. They just, straight up, if you got a felon, they don't want you in their apartment complex.
But he's working.
He is working. Yes, he's working. He has a very good job. He's working up in Anderson.
And is his employer willing to give a reference to the potential landlords?
Well, that I didn't ask him that. I need to ask him that.
You might ask him that. If he's got a good job and he's doing a good work, that might help. You might want to talk to the Indiana Civil Rights Commission to see whether repeated turndowns just for felony. You know, mm-hmm. that gets a little shaky there.
Yeah, it does.
You know, I mean, there are felonies that if you are a federally subsidized housing complex, they can reject you, particularly drug crimes.
Yeah, it is not a drug crime.
Okay. You also might want to check with the Civil Rights Commission.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you.
Let me go to Lisa right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi there, sir. Thanks for taking me on your program.
Yes.
I just had a couple comments.
Uh-huh.
Because what's going on with our youth is a really complex problem, and I don't really feel like there's one answer. I've seen kids come from a two-parent household that, you know, have gotten into a lot of trouble, and I've seen kids that have had no parental support at all do great things. But I do think that this generation of parents, we have to, you know, start going back to, you know, the old ways of parenting. I mean, really being structured. You know, I'm seeing a lot of parents, well, you know, the kid is not on punishment for doing things wrong, because that means that the parent has to be on punishment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like we've got to set those standards. We've got to enforce those standards. And we have to be diligent and vigilant about, you know, staying on our children, to show them and prepare them for how they're going to conduct themselves if we're not around, you know, or God forbid, you know, God calls us home, you know, we're not always providing our kids, teaching our kids the skills they're going to need to make it without us.
All right. Good points. Good points, my sister. I appreciate it. I'm going to go to Ron right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Liz.
Hi.
First, I want to say as well, go Tech.
Go Tech.
Go Tech. I was scared to death, Amos, because I was listening to that game because I was working. And here we are, 23 points when I started listening to the game, and next thing I know, it was within one basket.
It was, first of all, it was a great testimony to the opponent, Lake Central, for not giving up, not letting adversity stop them, just kept plowing, fouling a lot and trying to win it by slowing Tech down and sending them to the foul lines. It was great strategy.
It was a great game. Amos,
yeah.
I would also like to comment on Mayhem. I agree with everything he said just now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a young lady who called in and was asking about programs, which is what we seem to always want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Program. You cannot count on the white man to do anything for us. You already done said it. The mayor is not going to do anything that he don't have to do for us. I'll say it until I die. We have to fix our problems. We got basketball players that hit the lotto every single year just by getting their paycheck. How come some of those guys, and of course they're just like everybody else, it's their money, do what they wish.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. People with the money is most likely the people to help. And I've heard it said, get rich, then help other people. Because us poor people can't help us too much. We can volunteer for some things. But even then, somebody said, you know, you just can't get people to volunteer for enough stuff. If one church can do what Light of the World did, they can all do it.
Good point, Ron. I appreciate it. Let me go to Anonymous, then we'll take a break at 239-1310. Hi there.
I agree with the last caller about Light of the World. That was a great job that they did. But I just want to hit on the use of substance abuse in our community. The youth need to be educated about the effects of drugs and how they are affecting us. Because the shooting just happened on this past weekend at the Body Gear.
Mm-hmm.
The young men, they were in there trying to steal or whatever and
right.
killed the worker there. But a lot of these children, they're on drugs, doing drugs heavily on altered mind.
Yeah, but now let's be fair. There's a whole lot more adults on drugs than there are young people.
Because
there's a whole lot more adults.
Yes, and some of the young people are of crack babies, you know, from the adults being on drugs. So we all need to be educated about the harms of drugs, how they're affecting our community, how we are self-destructing ourselves from the inside out with the use of substance abuse.
All right, good point, but I think let's not put it all. Remember, there's 40,000 black young people in this town. Not all of them are on substance abuses. I think we got to put all that in context. Anyway, 239-1310. 239-1310 is Avenue's name. We'll take a break. When we come back, First Lady. No, Michelle's not here. Doggone it. But maybe we can, since the First Lady Karen Pence had dinner the other month with First Lady Michelle Obama, maybe this is how we can get the bid in to talk to the other First Lady. But we'll talk to the First Lady of Indiana after these.